Now, the last time we spoke to Dervla Meskel on this show, she was in LA ahead of the Oscars for a very special moment with her family. Well, after that trip, Dervla was heading straight into hospital for treatment for her cancer, and it has been a very tough time since then, to say the least. But yesterday, Dervla shared some good news on her Instagram, and she is on the line from her home. Dervla, how are you?
I'm really well, Catherine. Thank you. Thanks for having me. Thanks
it's so
me.
Good yeah. to hear you say that. I'm really well because you got some great news yesterday.
I did. I am in remission. Mm. And it is like, I suppose you kind of know when you're starting to feel well that it's going to be good news, but you just have to wait to sit and hear it from the white coats that, yes, you're right, that your body has done what it's supposed to have done. And I am beyond grateful, and I mean that. It's been a ride. I've not even 2 years diagnosed, so it's been quite a ride, quite a ride.
And it must have been a very emotional 24 hours, Dervla, like the drive in and the sitting in the waiting room and that waiting.
Yeah, I think actually I'm more emotional since than even going in, because you're in a very privileged group of people. You are in this amazing group where every time you go in on your Tuesday, my treatment happened to be Tuesdays. So every time I went in, I was amongst these incredible people looking after you, incredible people going through treatment. And you don't, I mean, I say it in the best possible way. I was arrogant and probably totally, I didn't really know how many people go through cancer. I really didn't. I gave on Daffodil Day. I was aware of people. But when you become part of the numbers and you see how many people are getting news, dealing with their treatments every Tuesday. So when I sat yesterday, I'm in a queue. I'm in, you know, with the next group, you know, a person's behind me and a person's in front of me. And I was really, really lucky. I got great news. Mm. I know that not everybody gets that great news, or they're told they've got some another step to take. So it is a real privilege to be in the company of so many fighters and the people who treat and the people who listen to you. It's just incredible. Mm. They're the most incredible people. Mm.
And you say incredible. That, and that's it. You get to know people. You get to know faces. Oh. You get to know smiles in those in that waiting
room.
Oh,
and they know you, and they recognize you, and you sort of say, this is where I want to be recognized in oncology, but it is exactly where you need to be recognized. And that these wonderful nurses and doctors and carers, oh my gosh, are just amazing. Mm. Amazing. I mean, it's a real vocation to work in that environment.
And can you bring us back, Dervla? You said it's less than 2 years there when this all started for you. What type of cancer did you have?
I'm very conscious that everybody's cancer is their own cancer and it's their own journey. Mm. I have multiple myeloma cancer, which is a blood cancer. Basically, I got a sore arm. Okay, just a sore arm. And I can tell you, Catherine, I do not go to the gym enough and I don't clean enough to have had the sore arm the way I had it.
Right.
So for all intents, you know, that was what kind of drew me to my GP. I kind of was like, oh, this is just not going. We did all the normal things. We went to physio, we did anti-inflammatories, you know, all the normal things that a doctor goes through. Initially. And then we had the crisis with Ukraine happened. Mm. And we took in a refugee and her four dogs, and life was very busy and it was wonderful and chaotic. And I still had this pain and my body started to fall apart a little bit, let's say. I started not be able to fight a cold. I got shingles. Little things that just my body wasn't fighting, and the pain was still there. And so my GP said, you know what, I think maybe you should go for an MRI. And so the weekend before the MRI, I was in Wimbledon. Mm. So the incongruous situation of being in this wonderful environment with Paul, his first thing that he asked me to go to, I was, you know, bowled over. It was center court. It was all this magic. 3 o'clock, you're walking into Wimbledon. Mm. And the next thing
feeling,
is I do
feeling
an MRI.
Very unwell.
Oh, I had got steroids, and I had put it down. And I know this is, I was 52. I was working full time. I was very busy, and I just presumed I've done something to a muscle and I'll get better. Mm. So you live in the moment, and I was having a wonderful moment.
Yeah.
So I just was living in that moment. And then got home, did the MRI, and they weren't happy with what they saw. And the following Sunday at 3 o'clock, I walked into the oncology unit in the Beacon. And it was like this thing where I kept saying to the doctor, I was only in Wimbledon last week, and now I'm here. Mm. And that sounds, but I just to explain that to people, that it happened that quickly.
Mm.
I was so lucky. I was in the right place at the right time, and my GP listened to me and said, this isn't, a 52-year-old woman complaining about being tired and having a sore bone.
Mm.
Do you know? It was somebody listened to more, and I then went into the Beacon, where I was put into every machine, treated just to every diagnostic thing they could find, and they found my cancer. And again, so lucky, the doctor who does this cancer is my doctor. So,
so he specialised in myeloma.
He specialises in this type of cancer. So I was being treated literally within a week of a week. I was, starting my treatment.
Okay.
I was very, very blessed. And I know how lucky I am.
Mm. And I'm just trying to put myself in your position when it was a very quick transition from going from physio to the sore arm to this, to then MRI oncology. Yeah. So psychologically, in that short space of time, in one way, it's caught early.
I'm doing all the right things. You know, you're ticking all the right boxes.
But the shock of it.
Absolutely. Again, and I will say this, you are stepped through every piece of the process because of where you are.
Mm.
I was in an oncology unit where these nurses and carers and doctors all knew I was going to experience. So I was being helped in every step of the way.
Mm.
I did have to tell my three children. Mm. They were the hard things. You do have to say this to your three children. You have to say, this is happening to me. We're going to be fine. It's all good. I'm on to the treatment. I'm going to do this, and we're going to do the next thing. So we're on a train ride. Mm. Let's get on this train ride and let's move to the next destination, which was harvesting. And I did it. I mean, the kids, obviously, you're talking down the phone. Donica had just gone to America. Paul was filming All of the Strangers, and Nell was releasing single. Nell released her single at graduation, literally the same day as I was in the hospital having blood tests.
Mm.
So all of it was kind of right there in our faces, but that's the way it is.
You were very open about your treatment, and for people who follow you on Instagram throughout this whole ordeal, like, you really have, Dervla, you've exuded a sense of positivity and hope. And that's not to say that you haven't been extremely honest about the horribleness of this disease, both physically and mentally. But has remaining positive been an active factor, do you think,
yes, absolutely, Catherine. For me, I've always seen the world as half full, and I think that is a personal thing. I also had very dark moments. I made the decision to go public about it.
Mm.
I did speak to the kids. I did speak to my husband, because I felt, first of all, I never heard the cancer before. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't Google it. I had never heard of this cancer. So it was all kind of very new. And I felt that there must be loads of people who are going to hear news, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe me going through this might help somebody else. It definitely was going to help me.
Mm-hmm.
I am a joy seeker.
Yeah.
In the simplest things.
Mm.
And if my little piece of my wild garden, my daisies, or whatever it is, gives you a sense of, I can get through this next step. Whatever you're going through, then that's great. That's fantastic. But, you know, selfishly, I was finding the joy for myself to cultivate it so that when I was at 3 o'clock in the morning and my back was being rubbed by Paul and I was trying to, you know, hold my head up or whatever it was, I could remember the daisy in the garden. Mm. You know, it was that simple. It really was that simple. Mm. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And I think, you know, going through what you went through, chemo affects people in different ways, but it is just an awful thing that you go through in order to make you well. And
you have to succumb to it. Mm, you know, you have to sort of, and I also think it must be, because it was happening to me, I was in it. It must have been, and I can't say, you know, put words into my family's mouths, but it must have been horrendous to see it happening. Whereas when you're in it, you're doing it.
Yes.
You know, you're surrounded by the right people. You're just getting on with it. And you are allowing this poison fix you. Mm. And I remember when I was in the Birkett unit, which is where you get your stem cell, I had stem cell treatment last April. I remember Finding Nemo just was in my brain. And I went with a laptop. I went with like a loads of clothes. I thought I was going to be, you know, I don't know what I was thinking. I thought I was going to be watching films and getting, you know, catching up on Succession and all the things. I couldn't.
Taking up a new hobby, all those things that people
think. I thought I might do crochet. Yes. I didn't know what I was thinking I was going to do. And I didn't, nothing. I literally lay there. Mm. And I allowed whatever was happening to my body happen. Mm. And I remember in Finding Nemo, there's a scene, and I don't know what it is, but where a whale is lying. And so the sand is kind of underneath them and they can see the sun through the waves above. And I became that whale, just lying, kind of semi-floating, just allowing this happened to me so that I would be able to get to, I know this sounds so ridiculous, up to the surface, that everything was going to be okay. And getting that news that you got yesterday
and your priority now is to get strong again. And to embrace
and do all your stuff, Kathy.
Get fit and healthy.
I have to get physically strong and be able to sort of climb steps really fast.
But the joy of being able to do that must be, because I know you retired from the Guards last year. So
I did. Like, in the middle of all of this, the retirement came, you know, after 33 years.
So what are you most looking forward to, Dervla?
I think right now, I mean, deadly serious, I do want to get strong. Mm-hmm. I want to get like physically strong that I'm able to fight the next thing that comes along, that I am physically well, that I am around, that this type of cancer can come back. So I want to be able to be fighting strong that I can take the next hit.
And that's what I wanted to ask you, actually, because everybody knows somebody going through it, and I have somebody very close to me that's going through the same thing. And she said, living with that fear of looking over your shoulder about it coming back. How do you manage that?
No.
Because I remember reading in one of your posts, and you described living with cancer, and you said it's second place, and although it sits at the table, it's quiet and it has no voice. And that I thought was so powerful.
And that's exactly it. None of us have the gift of knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. Mm. And I am now, as I speak to you, cancer free. Mm. And I can only live there.
Yes.
And I am looking out in my garden as we speak, and there's a bird in my bird feeder, and the trees are doing dappled, you know, making my garden look gorgeous. And there's wild daisies in my front garden, and that's where I am right now. Mm. My doctor even mentioned it yesterday. He said, I know it'll be the most natural thing that when you get a pain somewhere, you're going to think.
Yes.
But that's why I go for blood tests. It is why I will take my medicines. It is why if I have any concerns, I can make that phone call. Mm. You know, Irish Cancer Society is there. My people in the Beacon are there. And so I suppose my advice to anybody who's there, just please talk to somebody, because it's too much of a worry to carry on your own if you're there and you are worried.
Yeah.
Talk to somebody and the worry will be shared.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't necessarily make the worry go away, but at least it's shared.
It's shared. And all I'll say, Dervla, is, and to anybody listening out there who may be just newly diagnosed or
Absolutely.
Who has somebody, I would say, no, your Instagram platform is amazing. It is full of love and gratitude and love for life and seeing the beauty in the small things. And it really is. So even if you're not on Instagram, download it and just follow Dervla is what I would say, because honestly, it's a lovely space that you've created and a community. And I'm sure they've been a great support for you as well.
And listen, very interestingly, I did a reel when I got the news I was able to come out of the Birkett ward because I had reached a marker. And I had asked people just to send me their joys, just send me random joys because I couldn't get out.
Yeah.
And people sent me things from the Shetlands of their clothes blowing in the wind.
Yeah.
These are most amazing, gorgeous things. And you sort of go, oh my God, people are seeing the ordinary and seeing it as extraordinary.
Absolutely.
And I think that is amazing. But the next step is to actually get myself moving, getting this body healthy and well and ready to
take on whatever adventure. That. You will do that in the way you've done everything else, all gusto and straight at it. Brian in Cork has said, I'm sitting here listening to that lady describing her time in St. James's. I was there 4 years ago and it all came flooding back to me. I'm good now and there are brilliant people in the HSE to look after us, and there are always brighter days ahead.
Completely. And Brian is so right. And until you're inside there, as in inside the system, you just don't know how incredible these people are. I know we all talk about it and we probably all know nurses and doctors, but the system for me saved me. The love of my family completely encompassed me, and I have, you know, wonderful family. My brother, my sister, my mum, my dad, you know, my friends that drove me, that listened to me, that went on holidays and got me back to being brave, Catherine. There's a big thing about not feeling a little bit less brave than you think you are. And you need those people to sort of say, come on, let's run into the water. Let's be brave.
Well, keep doing it, Dervla. Keep doing
it. Thank you so much.
Enjoy the next adventures.
You.
There's lots to come. Dervla Meskell, thanks a million for chatting today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
a
million.
Thank you. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.